Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Father, to live for you, to deny ourselves and follow you. Lord, we just ask for wisdom. Help us, Lord. Forgive us where we fail you. Lord, lead us not into temptation, Father, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. I want to extend greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to really appreciate this last hymn we sang. Come, brethren, let us go. The evening closeth round. 'Tis perilous to linger here on this wild desert ground. Take courage as you wend on towards eternity. From strength to strength your course shall be, and blessed at last your end. Then the third stanza says, the body and the house deck not, but deck the heart. With all your powers we are but guests, ere long we must depart. Ease brings disease content, however his lot may fall. A pilgrim bears and bows to all, for soon his time is spent. Pilgrim bears and bows to all, for soon his time is spent. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, verse 5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. The Bible says in Numbers that Moses was the meekest man on the earth. Moses was a man who had strong characteristics. He was a leader. But yet, when God told him to do something, or whenever he was under the authority of another, he bowed himself to that authority. That's what meekness is. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is bowing ourselves to the authority that's above us. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the authority that is above us. I want to read some scriptures here. First, I want to think about Daniel. Daniel in chapter 6, verse 4, we'll use him for an example this morning. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And we know that the story goes on to tell that how Daniel, or how these presidents, created a law that a man couldn't pray. And Daniel prayed three times a day. He said he opened his windows and prayed three times each day. These presidents couldn't find anything that Daniel was doing wrong against their laws. They looked for ways that they could find something against him, and they couldn't find anything. Daniel submitted to the laws of this king, and he was a wicked king at this time. But Daniel submitted himself to the laws of that king. So much so that whenever enemies rose up against him, they couldn't find any area in his life that he was going against the laws of the king. And the only way that they could trap him was to create a law that would force him to go against God. That's the only time a believer or a Christian should be going against the laws of the kingdom, the laws of this nation, wherever we live. Daniel remained faithful, and God stood with him in the lion's den. Let's turn now to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be for king or to supreme. For the Lord's sake. What if we don't like it? Who are we living for? Ourselves or for the Lord's sake? One time, long time ago, I was working at the tire shop, and I heard this man telling a story about how this man was a real wild driver. He just drove just fiercely. And he was telling this story, and I don't remember all the details, but he told this story about this man. And then he said he saw a policeman. And what struck me was the phrase that he said next. He said, after he saw that policeman, he started driving like a Christian. This wasn't a Christian that was saying that. But this man understood that Christians should drive properly. And it was pretty obvious to him that whenever he saw a policeman, this man started driving like a Christian. A Christian is someone who governs themselves in a way that they won't harm any other or they won't hurt anyone else. You know, a Christian doesn't have to have traffic laws to govern themselves. We should drive as Christians and live as Christians in a way that won't do harm to any man. And when we do that, we won't have any problems with the traffic laws, because we'll be doing what is right. And that's what a Christian is. We shouldn't have to be told how to drive or how to act or how to live. Whenever Christ is our governor and we're doing things for His sake, we're going to be doing what's right. Whenever we're governed by the higher laws of God, man's laws aren't a burden to us. And that we need to learn to bend and bow to all, not just for our sake, but for Christ's sake. You know, if we just consider, when we're driving, we have a vehicle that can kill somebody. We're in a vehicle, we're in an instrument that has the potential to run over someone and kill them. We need to remember that when we're driving. That thing that we're in control of could run over somebody and kill them or hurt them. We might never do that physically on our own, but when we get behind the car, the wheel in the car, we just forget about things like that. Those things are dangerous, and we need to remember that. For the Lord's sake. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In Daniel again, whenever Daniel was talking to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was a king, and he thought that he was the king. He thought that he had obtained this kingdom all on his own, that it was all of his own power and wisdom and might. And Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that you're going to find out who's the real king. And God smote Nebuchadnezzar to where he acted like an animal and went out into the grass and laid down like a cow. And his nails grew. And he even ate grass like a cow. And he lived that way several years. And then God let him see again. And whenever he was allowed to see again, he was a lot different man. And one of the things he said, I know that the God in heaven establishes the rulers and the kings in the earth. that there is no power but what God grants to man. And God does grant that power. 20 years ago was the last time I voted in an election. And I was all involved in the evangelical movement and thought I was being a Christian patriot because I was voting to try to change the government to be a more godly government. And I voted and was all excited. And then the election results came back and I lost. The vote that I had cast was for the losing man. I remember just that sinking feeling that I had voted and now this ungodly man was going to create an ungodly government in this country. And I just thought, oh, how depressed I felt for a while. And then I started reflecting a little more and got a Bible out and started searching. And I realized that God chose this man. It wasn't my vote. God put that man in power. And then I realized I voted against God. Because God puts men in power. And when I vote for someone other than who God puts in there, my vote is against what God wants. My vote was against God's will. It wasn't a matter of how many people line up together. God puts the men in office that He puts there. The purpose of a Christian is not to try to govern this world. The purpose of a Christian is to bend and bow to the authorities that are above him. There's nothing wrong with us bending and bowing. In fact, it's really good for us. We live in a country where we want to change things if they don't go the way we want to. Instead of bending and bowing and being a meek and a humble disciple of Christ. You know, whenever you look at some of the kings in the Old Testament, some of them were just flat wicked. And whenever we look at the rulers that were in Rome at the time that Christianity began, I think it's in Acts, it talks about that the ruler rose up against Christians and they killed James. Boy, it's time we better get to voting and get rid of that fella. That's not what the early Christians did. Let's just look at that. Romans. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered him to four quatrains of soldiers. Quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Who did they petition whenever Peter was stuck in prison? They didn't go to the government to get things fixed. They went to God. Later, when the persecution got worse, it said they were scattered all abroad. Why were they scattered all abroad? Wasn't that terrible? No, they were scattered so that they could each go every place preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus. It was God's intent for them to do that. It was for God's purpose that this wicked King Herod rose up against the church to fulfill God's will. Not so that my life would go easy, or not so that my life would be unrestrained and I could just do whatever I wanted to. But it was to bring forth the glory and the will of God. That's why Christians aren't involved in politics and in government. Our government, we have a kingdom. We have a king. And our king says, you be like a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. A pilgrim and a stranger in this world pays his taxes. He obeys the laws. One time, I was asked about this when I was in China. And I was over there and someone challenged me about being involved in government. And I said, I'm in China. When I buy something or whenever I have to do something, I pay taxes on it. And I obey the laws of the land of China. But when it comes time to vote, do I vote? No, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger there. If they would go to war, would I join their army? No, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger there. I'm just passing through. They might even think I was a traitor if they would fight the other country or fight a country that I was living in. But I wouldn't join their wars. I wouldn't run for a government office. I wouldn't vote in their offices. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger there. And that's the way we are in whatever country we live in. We're pilgrims and strangers. Our kingdom is not of this world. Let's go on back to Romans chapter 12. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. But of God. It doesn't matter how vile the ruler is, he was put there by God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinances of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. God wants meek, humble people in His kingdom that know how to take orders and follow them without rising up in rebellion. As long as those orders do not go against His kingdom, those kingdom principles and those kingdom orders stand first. And one of those orders is get along with your government. Go along with it. Submit to it. Obey it. Go along to those who are in authority over you. Submit to them. And obey them. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. What about if we live in a society that seems that the evildoers prosper and those that do good get punished? What are we going to do with that? Well, 1 Peter says, if we do well and suffer for it, it's great gain to God. It's great gain for us. But if we do wrong and suffer for it, we just get what we deserve. Verse 4, for He is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For He beareth not the sword in vain. For He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon all, upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. If we do what's right, we don't have to worry about our conscience. But if we start resisting, we're not bringing glory to God. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. It doesn't matter how high your taxes may go. If that's Caesar's, give it to Caesar's. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. His image is on the coin. Jesus asked, whose image is this? And the image that was stamped on that coin was Caesar's. And He said, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, but give to God that which is God's. People use that to twist that around and say, well, that means that I belong to Caesar, so I should go fight for him. Whose image does man have on him? We have God's image. We were created in God's image. And we're to give what's created in God's image to God, not to Caesar. What's Caesar's is Caesar's. Contentment breeds disease. Whenever we have everything going our way, we don't have to bow or bend. We got all the money we want. There's no struggles. We're warring against our soul. That's why God allows this stuff to happen. It's for our good. That's why God allows us to go through hard times, maybe under a hard government. It's for our good. To bow and to bend is good for us. Whenever it's for the cause of God. Problem is, most people bow and bend whenever it's for God instead of for the government. They've got it backwards. They bow and compromise on God's will. And then stand firm on a lot of other things that they shouldn't. Verse 7, render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Owe no man honor. Owe no man tribute. Oh, no man, their custom. Or the tax that's charged. Don't owe any man that. Don't owe them honor. Give it to them. Fear to whom fear. I think sometimes we don't realize. I mean, we're in this country where we don't have a ruler as a king. I don't believe we realize the seriousness of submitting ourselves. We've been taught we're free. We can do whatever we want to all our lives. And anybody who tries to put a restriction on us, the hair on the back of our head stands up. We don't do things because we're free to do them. We do them because we're following the Lord and He's commanded us to do them. Sometimes it's hard for me just to submit. But it's good for me. And I need to do it for the Lord's sake. Sometimes whenever someone tells about something or wants me to do something I don't want to do, well, I just don't like it. Kind of bristle up a little bit sometimes. And I have to check myself and just humbly submit to it. It's not easy, but it's denying yourself. And that's what it's for. It's not so the government can run smooth because it doesn't have a bunch of people standing against it. It's for the kingdom. It's so that we can be refined to fit into the kingdom. We should honor those whom honor is due. And I think we need to teach our children to honor those that are above them. Whether they're their, even whether they're their parents or not. They should honor people that are older. We've just completely forsaken in this country honoring the old men. Very few of them worth honoring, but they still deserve that honor. Young people, you can learn something here. The way you act. You know, whenever I was in Mexico one time, I was just really blessed. I've told you this before about Zenon. We was in his little village and the men were talking. And one of the children walked in between the men. And Zenon stopped the child right in front of everybody and said, "You go around." He was teaching that child some respect for authority and for elders. And I think we lack that quite a bit. I don't have a problem with someone saying, "Yes, sir," a child to an older man or their elders. We should teach that honor and respect to our children. That if some other older person tells a child not to do something, they better listen. One thing I appreciate, I didn't then, but I do now, whenever Dad sent me to school, he said, "If you get in trouble there, I don't care what it is. If you get in trouble, you get the same at home when you get home." He told me to respect those people. He was teaching and instilling that I wasn't going to be a rebel and get away with it. Whatever punishment, boy, when I got in trouble at school, that was only half of it. When I got a paddling at school, I only got one or two, by the way. So, but when I got one at school, I knew when I got home it was going to be worse. No matter what I did. No matter whether it was my fault. My dad didn't believe me whenever I told him how mean those teachers were and how cruel those other people were to me. He didn't believe it. I got in trouble, right or wrong. He didn't defend me to anybody. You say, oh, that sounds cruel and unloving. One of the best things that ever happened to me. I couldn't go home and whine and say, explain my side of the story. If I got in trouble, I got in trouble. That was all there is to it. And I had to learn to take responsibility for what I did and sometimes for what I didn't do. But isn't that what Peter's saying? If we get in trouble for something we didn't do, to rejoice? Isn't that a good lesson we ought to be teaching our children? To be responsible. You younger people, you don't have to know everything that's going on. Whenever you hear adults talking and you get in on half of it, don't interrupt and say, what? If they want you to know, they'll tell you. Humble yourself. Give honor to those. Respect those that are in authority over you. And you learn that at home. And you learn it in the church. And then it isn't a problem when you get out into the world. You might have a boss that really don't know what he's doing. But if he wants you to do something a certain way, you do it the way he wants you to do it. I can say that. I work for my little brother. And when he wants something done, I do it his way. Whether I like it or not. And it isn't easy sometimes. But it's good for me. It's good for me. It don't hurt for you young people just to kind of sit back in the shadows. Honor and respect. We need to learn that. I've been in homes. One time I remember I was in a home and if the father was in the room, the children were just little angels. Then the father goes out of the room. This is in a Mennonite home. Plain home, whatever you want to call it. And the father went out of the room and the little boy stuck his tongue out at me. That's what he thought. That's how much respect he had for anybody else. He was scared to death of his father. But whenever Daddy left the room, nobody else was his boss. Have you ever heard that, children? You're not my boss. Have you heard that? So what if they are? They're older than you. They've got some authority. You better listen to them. Learn to. So what if you don't get what you want to do? A pilgrim bends and bows to all. There's greatness in that. That don't mean we have to go around fretting about every little thing that we're... Do what's right. Do what's right, and that'll take care of it. Do what's right. Let God govern you. Honor our leaders, whether we like them or not. You know, if we would do what we're supposed to do, our leaders might make some better decisions. If we just, people just rail on them all the time, pray for them that we might live a quiet and peaceful life. Pray for them that they might have wisdom to govern as God would have them govern, and submit ourselves to that. They're not killing us and hauling us off to jail all the time. They did the early church. And they didn't sign no petitions or go vote or run their own candidate. They submitted to the will of God. Our lives can go so much better if we're submitted to the will of God. We may have more trouble, but we can still have peace in the will of God. May the Lord add His blessings to these words. Father, we come before You again and we just thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Lord, we just ask Your blessing, Father. Help us, Lord, I pray, to submit ourselves to these things. Lord, to guard ourselves. To guard myself, Lord. I'm so prone. Lord, help me to be a faithful pilgrim, bending and bowing to everyone, Father. Honoring those, fearing those, and doing Your will. Again, we just want to thank You. Give us courage and wisdom, Lord, to stand for Your kingdom when needed. Lord, just help us be open and attentive to Your call on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, does anyone have anything like to add or share?
I lost that place where you read the first time. What was that chapter you read first? There was a verse in there.
1 Peter 2. I think.
Just by doing the will of God, no one falls.
Amen.
You don't have to try to speak or argue with them.